Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SGS Enterprises Limited Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kale.
Thank you, Nirav. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the call. From the management team today, we have with us Mr. K.A. Joseph, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, Executive Director and CEO, and Ms. Devanshi Dhruva, Head Investor Relations. I will now hand it over to Devanshi for opening remarks. Over to you, Devanshi.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for being with us over the call today. We appreciate it. Also, on behalf of everybody at SGS, we sincerely hope and wish that all your friends and family members are safe. Moving on, this is how we intend to take today's conference call forward. I will pass on the dials to Joseph, our Managing Director, for his opening remarks. Post his remarks, we will very quickly take you through some of the slides on the presentation, which I hope all of you would have got a chance to go through. The presentation is uploaded on our website as well. Sanjay, our CEO, will take you all through industry view, our business performance and highlights. I will take you all through our financial highlights. Lastly, Sanjay would share the outlook and strategy ahead for the future growth, post which we will then open it for Q&A. We also have Soumya Moganti, our VP Finance, with us on this call today. The duration of this call is around 60 minutes, and amongst the three of us, we will try and wrap this up in about 20 minutes, so we leave enough time for you guys to ask questions. If the time is not enough, please feel free to reach out to us through email or write to us, and I will try and answer all your questions to the best of my ability. Thank you once again. I will now hand it over to Joseph to make his opening comments. Over to you, Joseph.
Yeah. Thank you, Devanshi. Hello and good morning all, and hope everyone is doing well and keeping safe. I'm Joseph, the J in SGS. Little did we imagine that what we started in a garage about 35 years back will be a listed entity someday, and will become one of the leading players in the decorative space worldwide. The past 35 years has been an interesting as well as a challenging one for us to build the company to where it is today. However, I'm now excited about the journey ahead as Sanjay and I have some aggressive growth plans for this company to make it reach new heights, which Sanjay will take you through shortly during our call. Currently, SGS has the widest range of products, offering 11 product categories, including chrome plating and serving seven end segments: two-wheelers, passenger vehicles, commercial vehicles, consumer durables, farm equipment, medical devices, and sanitary ware. In FY 2022, we manufactured almost over 6,000 SKUs and supplied over 130 million parts to our customers across 20 countries and to about 175+ customer locations. I will now hand it over to Sanjay to take you through the performance of the year.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. In our first conference call post-listing, while announcing the Q3 results on the ninth of February, my team and I had spoken extensively about the SGS business, what is our business model, what is our moat, including the big theme that SGS represents, the increasing spend on aesthetics and premiumization within the industry we cater to. Namely the two-wheeler, four-wheeler, and consumer durable sectors. For those joining this call for the first time and want a better understanding of the same, my request is for you to please go through the Q3 FY 2022 transcript, which is hosted on our website. I trust you've got a chance to see the investor presentation that we shared for Q4. I will use this as a reference while speaking with you all today. SGS continues to outperform the underlying industry growth. Premiumization theme is not just intact, but accelerates every year. We remain quite bullish on the premiumization within the auto and the consumer durable space. As you would observe in slide six, if you could refer to that, please. For the quarter ending March 2022, two-wheeler industry production volume declined 21% YoY, while SDS two-wheeler sales were only -5% despite the challenges that the industry faced. Passenger vehicle industry production volume growth was flat at 2% YOY, while SDS passenger vehicle sales jumped to 52.3% YOY. Both these data points validate the theme of premiumization that we represent, and even for the full year, SDS has outperformed the automotive industry, as we promised during our investor meets at the time of the IPO. Moving on to slide 7, this demonstrates the work that we've done to better balance the sales mix across industry segments at SDS. So our revenue contribution from passenger vehicles and consumer durables has increased significantly. So PV went up from 10.2% to 28.8% of our sales mix. Consumer durables went up from 19.6 to 22.2% from FY19 to FY22 through both organic and inorganic route that we took, thereby de-risking this business from two-wheeler concentration. The two-wheeler market share contribution to our sales moved down from 43.3% from 70% that was during the same period. Our exports revenue too have doubled in the last 3 years from FY19 to FY22, and they are today 470 million. Similarly, the traditional versus the new age products that we talked of has moved up from which were only 3% of our sales in FY19, today constitute about 16% of our overall sales in FY22. So we see strong traction. Both exports and new products remain a key strategic driver for the future growth and potential business growth and the potential. So I would now like to hand over to Devanshi for taking you through the financial numbers before I take you through the midterm and the near-term strategic outlook and what growth plans we have for the company. Over to you, Devanshi.
Thank you, Sanjay. Though all of you may have gone through our results, I would like to highlight that SJS delivered a strong Q4 FY22 performance in a challenging environment, especially for the auto industry, which continues to face challenges from the semiconductor chip supply. Despite this, SJS Q4 FY22 revenue grew 13.4% QOQ to Rs. 1,041 million, while overall two-wheeler and passenger industry productions combined grew 2% QOQ. Our EBITDA stood at Rs. 267 million, marginally impacted by increase in the raw material cost. However, the margin downside was limited on back of operating leverage and buying efficiencies to 25.3%. Our net profit stood at Rs. 154 million on a margin of 14.6%. As mentioned earlier in our results during the last quarter ended December 2022, there was a one-off item of Rs. 37.6 million wherein we reversed the provision for discount given to customers, and that was added back to sales and profitability in Q3 FY22. Hence, excluding that, our margins are mostly in line with Q3 FY22 margins. Passenger vehicle and consumer durable segments delivered robust QOQ growth of 20% plus, and our overall domestic business clocked 16% plus QOQ growth on account of new business wins. SJS has a strong net cash and bank balance position with over Rs. 100 crores on balance sheet. We are also happy to announce that during the quarter, we added Stellantis, a leading global automaker and mobility provider, as one of our key new customers, and also won several projects from key customers like Continental, Maurus Garage, Honda, Hyundai, etc. Coming to our financial performance for the year, moving to slide 12, for the full year FY22, while two-wheeler and PV industry combined production was flattish YOY at -0.2%, our revenue grew by 15.5% YOY, and this growth was despite the industry and SJS facing challenges in Q1 due to Omicron wave that disrupted production and supply chain. Our consolidated revenue, including Exotech acquisition in FY22, was 3,698.6 million. We delivered EBITDA margins at 26.3%, marginally impacted due to increase in raw material cost. However, the downside was limited on account of our operating efficiencies and buying leverage. PAT margins maintained same at 14.7% compared to FY21 pro forma adjusted margins. Please note, in FY21, adjusted margins are excluding the exceptional item of gain on sale of land at Exotech in FY21 to the tune of rupees 53.8 million. I am delighted to share that this year in FY22, the first year of acquisition, Exotech delivered a phenomenal growth of around 50% YOY. It also showcased an improvement of over 150 bps in EBITDA margins to 12.8% from 11.3% in FY21, excluding that one-time gain on sale of land. This gives us the confidence that not only have we been able to successfully integrate the two businesses, but also built in cost synergies in the first year of operations itself. Additionally, even SJS on a standalone basis has been consistently improving on its EBITDA and PAT margins by around 20 to 40 bps to 31.5% and 19.1% respectively in FY22. We are a debt-free and a free cash flow generating company, and this year too, post-Exotech acquisition, we have been able to generate a healthy free cash flow of rupees 500 million. Our continuous growth has enabled us to maintain our returns to our shareholders even in such challenging times, with ROCE and ROE maintained at healthy levels at 27.1% and 15.3% respectively. We have cash and bank balance of over rupees 100 crores on our books, which can be utilized for organic and inorganic investments in the future. In the end, I would just like to mention that we are a company having strong financial performance and balance sheet and have strong revenue and margin growth story ahead. With this, I hand over to Sanjay to give his closing remarks and outlook for our company.
Thank you, Devanshi. Now, ladies and gentlemen, moving to slide 17 of the presentation. So the outlook for a company, as mentioned earlier, the automotive industry has been going through its own share of challenges since the last 2 years. Subsequently, the two-wheeler and passenger vehicle OEMs too have reduced production due to dip in retail demand, challenges in the semiconductor chip shortages, supply chain issues, etc. However, SJS has demonstrated its outperformance in these tough times, and we are confident that we will continue to do so in the coming years as well. Keeping that in mind, a medium-term growth plan for FY23 through FY25, we would like to grow the top line at a CAGR of about 25% organically while maintaining our margins. Organic growth will be achieved through a four-pronged strategy we've outlined for ourselves: capacity expansion, focus on exports, products, and our customers. So let me explain a little bit of what I mean by this. So capacity expansion, post this acquisition of integration of Exotech with SJS, we've received a lot of traction in the market for the chrome plating business, and there's a high demand pipeline building up. Looking at this high demand, we believe that our current capacity will be exhausted in the next 1.5 to 2 years, and hence we would like to grow our chrome plating capacity from the current level, about 130 crores revenue per year, to generate almost 300 crores of revenue. This would entail a capex of about 100 crores over a span of 18 to 24 months and would generate an annual ROCE of about 20% at full capacity. Higher capacity will also enable us to pursue exports, like we have a world-class plant today at SJS Bangalore. We hope that this new facility that we will create will also be to those standards and help us win global customers for our chrome plating business. On exports, as you've seen, despite the COVID challenges since 2020, we have doubled our exports revenue in the last 3 years to 470 million rupees. We would now like to expand it further through global presence by entering new markets, strengthening existing relationships, adding new customers, and also significantly adding to our sales force in these international markets where we believe there's a high demand for our products. So in terms of products, so the idea of exports is really to be closer to the customer, and for that we are strengthening our network of sales representatives in those markets. For products, SJS has always been ahead of the curve in the domestic market and develop new technologies and advanced products. We intend to develop and introduce illuminated logos, in-molded electronic parts, and other new generation technologies in the coming future. We will continue to build capabilities to innovate and develop new products and increase application across various end industries we serve. Key customers are key to our growth story. The idea is to strengthen relationship with the existing customers by expanding the array of products and services that we deliver to them. At the same time, building large mega accounts. We would like to increase the customer base by marketing existing products to new customers, as well as tap huge cross-selling opportunities between SGS and Exotech. This was all about our organic growth story. So simultaneously, as a growth engine, SGS is actively evaluating opportunities and building an M&A pipeline that will give an impetus to grow revenues beyond the 25% organic growth that we foresee. So during the year, SGS has completed successful integration of the Exotech business. That was the first acquisition for the company, where we've demonstrated credible improvement in the business. We've grown the top line by 50% last year. Margins also we've improved to over 150 basis points on year-on-year basis. We would like to pursue such business accretive opportunities in the coming future as well. The idea would be to either build capacity in an adjacent or a new aesthetic product category to expand the presence in consumer-related industries or enter new geographies and tap new markets. Inorganic growth will boost the company's growth even further and help us grow at a much faster pace than the organic rate of growth that we've charted for ourselves. We have laid strong foundations for a unique business to grab all possible organic and inorganic opportunities, and this will help grow the SGS story. In order to do this, we understand that we need to strengthen our senior leadership team now that we have multiple plants, and that would help us move ahead on our growth plans. So we are actively seeking to get on board a new CEO to lead all business activities for the company, and also a new CFO to lead the finance function to lead the financial integration of all the future targets that we have when we are outlining our M&A strategy. So Joe and I will continue to lead the company in executive capacity, and we will focus on critical strategic initiatives to take this company to the next level. I will lead the acquisitions both within India and globally, anchoring key customer relationships and oversee the overall company strategy. Joe will lead the development of new technology products and add a roadmap for a new product pipeline, strengthen and reinforce the R&D structure, and of course continue to guide the team on product excellence. So in the near term, FY23, we are confident to deliver a 25% year-on-year revenue growth, as we have the right visibility. So we have a high visibility of sales for FY23, close to about 85% to 90% of our business is already acquired. Premiumization, new customer wins and exports on back of a positive outlook that is expected. The two-wheeler, passenger vehicles, consumer durable businesses will rebound, and they will enable us to deliver higher sales growth for SGS. And of course, as usual, we'll continue to outperform the industry. Our strong moat, strong margin profile and expected operating leverage will drive our PAT growth, and we hope to grow our PAT by 30% year-on-year in FY23 and going ahead. We believe that SGS, with its wide product offerings, play on premiumization, strong geographical presence, and very strong customer relationship with marquee customers, is poised to grow at a much faster rate than the industry growth of about 10-12% for the auto and the consumer appliance sectors for the next 5 years. So another thing very clear is that any strategic decision taken by the company, whether organic or inorganic, ultimately the objective is clear, that we want to build value for all our stakeholders for the long term. And with this, I will end my commentary, and I would now like to take question answers, which we would be happy to address. So,
thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Mahesh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in FY22 last year, the overall two-wheeler and four-wheeler industry was cumulatively flat, but we grew by 15%. And similar outperformance we are expecting in FY23 as well. So is it possible to share where we are expecting a growth, that is our core business of aesthetic business and chrome plate business? What kind of growth we are expecting across both the segments?
So, thank you, Mahesh. So, fundamentally, growth will be secular. We are seeing good traction. So, a lot of this growth is coming from the new products that we have launched, as I said, in recent times. So, we see very good traction there. That trend towards premiumization is playing up. When you look at specific customers, so we see good growth in our chrome plating business. A lot of new businesses that we won in the last year. So growth is pretty much secular across all segments. And exports is going to be another focus area for us. We've already last year appointed sales agents in Latin America and in Turkey. And this year we are going into other markets as well. So overall growth will happen across all industry segments that we address, led by a good order intake that we've had. So almost 85% to 90% of the sales that we have outlook for FY23 is already business awarded to us.
Sure, sir. I mean, sir, we are talking about 25% growth in current year and also expecting 25% CAGR for next 2 years or so. So, overall, 3 years, we are talking about 20% plus CAGR. And I mean, in this kind of environment, this is a very brave statement to make. So I'm just wanted to understand FY23 to 25, we are talking about 25% growth. So from where do you expect growth will come back? Is it a domestic business, export business? It's a chrome plate business, non-chrome plate business. So I'm just trying to be understanding where actually we are anticipating growth for this kind of growth over next 3 years.
Yeah. Okay. So growth will come from these mega accounts that we created. So we narrated a case study to you earlier during our IPO stage where a large global company, we had grown business 3x over the last 3 to 4 years with them. Since then, we have also made inroads to another two large global OEMs, tier ones actually, not the OEMs, and we will supply instrument cluster parts to these people. So namely the dials that we introduced, the 3D dials, the 2D dials, and the lens mask assemblies, so the new generation product that we developed. We already have good traction. We won businesses not only in India but overseas. So that will continue to lead growth. Plus the consumer durable business that we have, we hope to grow on that as well.
So last question from my end, the export revenue
actually. He's just adding to what Sanjay said. So, you know, the organic growth is moreover going to be from exports, which he already mentioned, as well as we are going to undertake a capacity expansion at Exotech because we are seeing a lot of traction out there for chrome plating business, and as well as we want to pursue exports ahead for this chrome plating products. So we will be firing on all guns, whether it be capacity expansion at Exotech, exports, new development of products or technology, as well as growing mega accounts, which Sanjay already mentioned. So we are confident that all these four put together would definitely help us to grow at an expected CAGR of around 25%.
I'll just take one more minute on the same point. So there is a huge market outside India. So as we mentioned earlier, CRISIL had done a market study report where the global market size was huge. So we were just at the cusp of that ocean. Our products have a strong moat. These are labor-intensive parts. These are easy to ship parts. And that is the theme that will grow our business. So expanding the global presence, focus on these new technologies that we are working on introducing, and these global accounts that we are opening up. Now that this economy is opened up, travel is permitted, we will be very aggressive on the export markets to meet new customers and open new accounts. So already we have success, and we are fairly confident that this 25% CAGR target that we met ourselves, we should be in a good position to achieve that.
Sure. Sir, last question from my end. As you said, exports have doubled in last 3 years. So what is the outlook for next 3 years? I mean, Whirlpool seems to be a dominant customer for us on export side. On the last conference call, we also mentioned that we also added a Samsung as a customer. So what is the outlook for what kind of growth we anticipate from these two customers abroad?
Yeah, so apart from Whirlpool, there are many new customers that we've added. So Stellantis is one group that we've onboarded where we see strong traction. As I said, in terms of the automotive dial business, so we have we had one company. We are now have two more companies which are again as large in size as Visteon, which we are very successfully working with. We've been successful in winning businesses with them, both in India and globally. So we will grow these through a function of all these three. So while Whirlpool will continue to grow, we were supplying to just one plant. We now have approvals for supplying to a few more plants and added a chrome-plated badge also to our list of products that we supply to Whirlpool. So this business, the existing business will continue, and we will continue to mine new businesses.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, wanted to understand what would be the durables growth rate for us in the year gone by, and what would be the exports growth rate for the year gone by. My second question is, what is the progress that we have in the two other large customers in dials, which is Conti and Magnelli on the export side? And my last question is, what is the CAPEX out number for 23 and 24? Is it that we are just obviously going to spend only in the chrome plating side, this 100 crore?
Thanks for the question, Ritesh. So our exports for FY22 over FY21 has grown by 15%, and our consumer durable business as well has grown by 24% odd. In terms of what was your next question?
Capital. Progress in the two key client, export client, that is Magnelli and Conti.
Yeah, so we've got very strong traction. So we won a global business for Conti for Southeast Asia. We won business for them, a very large business for them in India as well. We have met their global purchasing team. There are meetings being organized now, and we are hopeful of launching the other optical display products also for this company. So it's progressing exceedingly well, and we are very optimistic that this will be another Visteon for us. And we are also looking at Marelli. Business with them also is growing very strong. So apart from, we've already started production when we came for the fund, for the listing. We told you that we are looking at expanding this business. So one, apart from the dials, there is another business for a lens mask assembly that we are now supplying in large numbers to Marelli. And at the same time, now that their acquisition of Calsonic Kansai has stabilized and the management structure is stable, We are approaching them in their both their local teams and their global teams to expand business. So the response so far is positive. So we are very optimistic on both these accounts growing to be mega accounts for us.
And you know, even the new products that we had introduced in the last 3-4 years, including products like IMD, lens mask assembly, which were almost like contributing negligible under 3% of our revenues 3 years back, is now more than 16% in FY22, and we are just more getting more confident that it will grow further for us.
Has it translated into firm orders for us for 23, which supports your 25% top line growth guidance, or it is yet to translate into orders?
No, not as translated. We have already won business. These are awarded businesses that are.
And as we had already mentioned before also, almost 80-85% of our order book is of the expected numbers that we are, growth we are expecting for FY23. So 80-85% of that order book is already there with us.
Okay. And ma'am, the capex or the capex number, what it should be for 23 and 24, and presume that your the Bangalore plant has sufficient capacity, so you need not spend there. What you need to spend only is on chrome plating.
Yes, so you rightly mentioned. So, you know, for chrome plating, we are expecting a lot. There's a high pipeline that we are seeing, demand pipeline, and because of which we feel that we need, you know, in the next 1.5-2 years itself, we may exhaust this capacity that we have. So that's why we need to start, you know, making this new plant. And we feel that from 130 crores, we can take this to around 300 crores. That's the kind of capacity expansion we are taking. And the capex would be somewhere around 100 crores spread over 18 to 24 months. So that's around FY23 and FY24. And the expected ROCE would be somewhere around 20% when operational at full capacity.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rahul Ranade from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Devanshi, just one clarification. I missed your opening comments where you said there was an exceptional in Q3. What was that and what was the quantum for that?
Yeah, so in Q3, as we had mentioned in our results earlier, so there was an one-off item of rupees 37.6 million, which was a provision for discounts made for our customers, and that was reversed and added back to our sales and profitability.
Okay. And was this in the standalone or was it an exotic?
This was in standalone.
Okay. Understood. Yeah. So that was one. And secondly, so on the capex, so 100 crores for exotic over the next 18 to 24 odd months, would there be any, you know, kind of maintenance capex required in the standalone, which we also, you know, kind of have to build in? How should we think of that?
So fundamentally, the Bangalore plant does not require much capex. Maintenance capex, of course, to the region of about 10 crores odd may be needed. That's about it. So quite nothing significant at all.
Okay. Understood. And what would the capacity utilization be currently in Bangalore?
So would be to the region of about 55%, 55, maybe 56% around that.
Okay. So there's a fair bit of headroom on that. Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of headroom at Bangalore. Since Exotech was an acquired plant, so now that we've unleashed a lot of pipeline for that business, we see that happening, and it takes some time being a special process. So we are being proactive to build capacity there so that we can continue to mine that business.
Sure. And just looking at, let's say, even Q4 or the full year numbers, when we, you know, kind of in the presentation look at industry growth versus our growth, obviously it is more of a volume versus value comparison. So just to understand, how much of our growth would be pricing led, how much of it could be volume growth, something on those lines?
So inherently what we talked of is that the play is on premiumization. So what we've been maintaining is that the rupee content per product is increasing because of this trend towards premiumization. So the right metrics to measure it from our terms is that despite the volumes of the underlying industry going down, in revenue terms, SGS continues to outperform that quite significantly. So that plays out. But then we have a very large complex mix. So it's difficult to comment on each specific part. But overall, the theme is that our revenue increase is far outpaces the growth or the degrowth in volume. So even when volumes degrow, our revenues have grown. That we've been able to demonstrate quite clearly.
Sure. Sure. No, so it's pretty heartening to see that even in these, you know, tough commodity times, our, you know, margins are holding up pretty well. So if I look at it only in the last quarter, I see, you know, some bit of a jump up on the, you know, RM to sales on the standalone, which where it moved from 35 to 40 odd. So would this also be more of a mix-related issue, or is it really commodity cost hitting us in this quarter?
There are many factors behind this. So the team has done hard work in terms of, we have regular campaigns to do VAV campaigns to optimize costs. So while there has been commodity price increases that the entire industry has seen, at SGS, we've been able to mitigate this impact to a very large extent thanks to this regular VAV activities that we conduct. We also have in-house testing capabilities, so we've looked at seeing what can we do to improve the materials that we use during processing, during screen printing. We've also managed to look at operating the efficiencies that we have in terms of buying leverage. So we have been able to leverage our position with our suppliers and been able to control any cost impact that we would have.
Also, the contribution from a new age product that we were saying, that has also increased in relatively in the last 3 years, you know. So those are also high margin products which have helped us to improve on our margins along with the increase in exports.
So that's for SGS. And the same thing we've done for Exotech. So you've noticed we've improved margins in Exotech. So our idea really was that with this acquisition synergy, so whatever systems, processes we have at SGS Bangalore, we roll out to this Exotech plant in Pune. So we have done that. And moving forward, we will continue to focus on efficiency improvements there in terms of rejection reduction, in terms of efficiency improvements. So that's where synergies truly play out in terms of the capability we've built in SGS over the years, and then deploying it at a new location that we've acquired. So that makes us confident that in an M&A situation, I think we have a robust management team and processes in place at SGS that will continue to drive that. So we are quite confident of any M&A activities given the strong processes that we have at SGS.
Just to add to what Sanjay said, especially that now that you all can see that, you know, in Exotech, we've not only grown our revenue by around 50% year on year, but our margin improvement, as Sanjay highlighted, has been like almost more than 150 in just the first year of acquisition. So that is something that gives us confidence that all the measures that we are taking and all the cost efficiencies that we are trying out is working for both the company, because SGS standalone also, we've been able to improve our margins in this kind of a challenging, tough situation, and in Exotech as well.
Sure. And lastly, from my side, like when we acquired Exotech also, you know, one, you know, kind of a rationale was that there was a good cross-sell opportunity. So where would we be on that journey of introducing our customers to the SGS, you know, product portfolio? Where would we be from where we started off as, you know, as a target? Where would we be currently?
We are very well down that path. It's very heartening that the customers have supported us. So just to recall, all the existing customers that SGS has already buy chrome-plated parts. They're more than happy to deal with SGS, given our reputation for reliability and quality cost delivery performance. So we see a lot of traction happening. So those businesses, we've already won businesses from a few customers in consumer durable space. We won business from automotive customers. So it's quite a secular growth. and we are quite optimistic that the task for cross-selling that we set for ourselves will continue to gain pace. So at this moment, we are strategizing in terms of, our focus at Exotech also is going to be that the new businesses that we get should be more margin accretive, because our target, I mean, as a company, we are very focused on profitability. So we are very selective in choosing what we choose to do. So part of that story is the strategy that we have, what customers we go after, and essentially we are looking at exports in a big manner to drive growth at Exotech.
Sure. Got it. And the way to think about it, like you said, even for Exotech, our kind of target ROCs will be in that range of 20% plus even when we look for acquisitions. Is that the right way to look at it?
I cannot comment, but it depends on the target that we have for M&A. But for sure, we will do our math correctly to make sure that these are margin accretive for all our shareholders. So clearly, what is very important for us is to maintain the margin profile that we've successfully maintained at SGS over the last 5-7 years. And moving ahead, it's such a large market that we can make sure that the market or the company that we choose should be value accretive in the medium term. So we will look at companies that can add value.
Sure. So in terms of margins, obviously, just taking the example of Exotech, obviously is a lower margin business, but it operates at similar ROCs, right? And so that's where I was coming from in terms of ROCs. Should we be kind of looking at only accretive kind of acquisition?
That is right. So fundamentally, the aesthetic industry is an asset-light industry. So it's not large capex that you require for a cement or a steel plant, for example. So we are quite nimble. We have good experience in sourcing equipment at relatively better pricing than competition. So we have that experience in this industry. So moving forward, we will work to attain that target ROC levels that we have maintained for the company.
So whatever decisions take, any acquisitions, any organic expansion or any strategic decision for the company, that would more be for the value creation for all the stakeholders. And we would acquire company that would help us to improve our margins overall, whether it be in products, having new products or expanding new geographies, or entering any consumer-related industries as well.
So fundamentally, the focus will be that we create value for our shareholders. So I cannot comment on a futuristic M&A that we will do, what will be the ROC or what would be the dynamics of that situation. But overall, we will focus on creating value.
But this is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Dheeran from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, when we are guiding 25% kind of a growth, so what kind of industry growth we are assuming that?
So at an average, a 10-12% industry growth, and the balance delta coming in from this increasing content per product or that we supply to. So premiumization come on the back of industry growth of about 10-12%.
So it would be more like premiumization plus new customer wins and building mega accounts. All these together would help us achieve this higher than industry growth for SGS.
Okay, got your point, sir. Ma'am, when we are winning orders from new customers, what is making them shift to their business from the existing vendor to us?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
Question. So the answer is that what makes customers prefer SGS over others, right? Is that the question?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so two things. So when we look at, let me answer that in two ways. So global customers want a stable supplier. So SGS, because of its very strong financial profile, zero debt on its books, passes by flying colors when companies look at risk of adding a new supplier. That's point one. So very strong financial profile. The second point in our favor is that we are a single-stop solution provider across multiple products. So customers would like to have suppliers who are capable of supplying more than one product. And so they would like to work with fewer and fewer customers who have more and more capability. So that is another plus in our favor. And when I talk of export customers, as I said, our products are labor-intensive. So this is a batch mode operation business in terms of screen printing. It requires a lot of capability within the workforce to inspect it. So there are 100%-200% inspection going on. So that's a natural lever that we have, that our profitability levels are far higher than a supplier in Europe or North America. So those markets are therefore interesting for us. So we offer better quality, cost, delivery, development capability, performance, and have a much rounded product portfolio. So a customer can buy not only dials from us, can also buy chrome-plated rings from us, can also buy lens mask assemblies from us, which is not what many other customers can offer. So that is the reason why we are a preferred supplier, and we are a strategic supplier to most of the mega accounts that we operate on. That means that we supply them across regions. So it's not just Asia. So we supply to Latin America, we supply to North America, we supply to Europe. So that's the reason for transfer of business from existing supplier to SGS in the global context. In the Indian context, of course, there is no company in India which does everything that we do. In fact, there's no company in the world also that does what we do. So that makes us a very attractive proposition when customers come to us to ideate for new ideas for aesthetics. So I have a styling studio where we can offer them a styling solution. So customer doesn't come to me looking for a chrome-plated part. He says that I want to look my vehicle to sell more. I want to make it more attractive. And I have a design team here who makes mock-up samples, and we give them a whole menu of options that if you do this with technology A, this is the price. Technology B, this is the price, which is more than what any competitor can offer. So therefore, I believe that I have that unique position in the industry, and that's what we've built over the years.
Thanks for the elaborate answer, sir. And sir, lastly, this new order being from the customers like MG, Hyundai, so this is for which product category, and if you can specify quantum of order win per client?
I'm sorry, that's confidential commercial information, so I would not like to state that, but we have a very strong traction. That's all that I can say. I'm sorry.
Which product category, if you can specify only?
Across all segments, actually. So there are 3D Luxe parts, there are chrome-plated parts, there are multiple technologies. Dials, so good win.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naitik Kala from TSG Credit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning and congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. My first question was, if you can give me a sort of number as to what revenue our top five clients are contributing in each of our businesses, maybe just the chrome plate and aesthetics business?
We are fairly diversified, so let me answer another way while we drop that, get that number for you. So our largest customer does not constitute more than 20% of our sales at an average. Roughly, that is the number. Now, top five customers across the group, let me do a math.
Yeah, so please take your time.
About 55%, 60% top five customers, roughly.
That is out of our total revenue or in one of the segments?
Total revenue.
Total revenue. All right.
Yeah.
My second question was, since we're focusing on exports and currently, the container costs are off the charts. What used to be around $1,500 per container is now $5,000-$6,000, maybe more. What costs imports are we able to pass on to customers? And, since we are only planning on doing exports, do we have any measures to, do we have any, write down in the contracts to do the same going forward?
So I have a smart purchasing team, so most of our contracts are CIF delivered to us. So in that sense, we are a little smart about that. Yes, freight costs, container costs have gone up, but fundamentally, we work very hard, and that's you can see that performance in Q3 that Devanshi told you. So we've been able to improve margins not only in Exotech but also at SGS, despite commodity pressures, which a lot of other companies talk of. So we have been nimble on our feet to be able to mitigate that impact to a very large extent.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And my next question was on the lines of our just a second, sorry, sir. Yeah. So when we win orders, are they on contractual basis? Is it per order going forward as a regular thing?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. You'll have to repeat that, I'm afraid.
Yes.
There's a disturbance on the line.
Win orders or our existing orders from clients as well. So are they on a rolling per order basis, or is it more of a contractual system where we have a fixed or is it more of a per order and they change it every year or something?
No. So it is awarded per model. So let's say there's a new model that a customer launches, and there's a lifetime of that order. So let's say that model is going to run for 6 years or 7 years. We are nominated as a supplier. And so there are categories of products like dials, for example, which run like that. If you talk of decals, so fundamentally, these are items that go refresh, that are refreshed every year at an average. So the color change, the shape of the decal changes. But the model that is awarded to you normally continues unless a supplier doesn't perform up to the expectations for the OEM. So fundamentally, this is for the life of the product that is awarded or the model before it is discontinued. So typically, it's not a fixed order quantity. It's based on that you are awarded a model, and so long as that model continues, you will continue selling it.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and have a great day.
Thank you, and you too. Have a great day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the question. My question was again on the chrome business. So if you could maybe just talk about how are you seeing the chrome content? I mean, I understand that some of the newer models that have been launched, I believe that the chrome content has gone up significantly. So maybe if you could just talk about as an overall, I mean, value per vehicle, broad numbers versus, say, models 4-5 years back, what is the increase that you're seeing? So that is just the first part. So just kind of highlight the opportunity that you see there.
Chrome, so CRISIL did a market research where they estimated that in FY19, the chrome market in India was about 800-900 crores, and that was growing at a CAGR of about 20%. So we are still, let's say, we just got into this chrome business about a year ago, and we grew our business by 50%. So my view is that we are very strong challengers in the chrome business. The chrome content that you ask for, so it depends on vehicle model to vehicle model. For example, an SUV could have chrome parts that cost up to the content per vehicle could be about 3,500 rupees or 4,000 rupees. So somewhere between 2,000-4,000 rupees for an SUV, whereas when you come for a smaller car, it could be about 1,000 rupees. So there is a definite increase. Not only that, the special finishes in chrome are increasing. So you have bright chrome, you have satin chrome, you have black chrome. So people want more and more innovative interiors which look exclusive, and that's what's driving the theme for premiumization. So fundamentally, we see an increase happening, and that is the reason why we are to tap this opportunity. We're looking at investments because we see this as a very lucrative opportunity moving forward.
Right. Right. And in the presentation, you also have mentioned that it kind of like higher capacity will help you cater to global markets. But just wanted to understand, are these products amenable to exports? I understand that some of the other decorative products, exports is a big opportunity, but I would believe that chrome products, the size would be relatively larger. So are these products amenable for exports?
Yeah. So, So chrome parts inherently are, you are right, there are large parts and there are small parts. So the businesses that we are targeting are really the small parts that can be shipped. So traditionally or historically, let me tell you, a lot of Chinese manufacturers used to export to global OEMs. They used to have warehouses where they ship parts from China to the US. I am midway through between China, I am halfway distance. So the Chinese can do it, I believe that SGS can do it. We have a strong traction with our customers, we have strong capability, and we are used to shipping these parts, as was mentioned earlier, so 20 countries, 170 customer locations worldwide. So we have a very well-established supply chain, and we believe that we have a strong position there. So distance and size would not be constrained. You are right, some very large parts will not be amenable to export, but then we are not targeting those parts for the moment. So it depends on, I mean, if we have an M&A opportunity to look at a chrome plating business in North America or Europe, we could look at that in a future date for the larger parts. But the smaller parts, shipping out of India is not a problem.
Great. And just the last part, I mean, we've already done a good job in terms of improving margins at Exotech. But what is the headroom to further improve it? The reason I ask this is, I understand that capacity, I mean, putting up new chrome capacity, completely new plant is difficult. You require a lot of regulatory approvals. So I would believe that while demand continues to increase, capacity might not come up at a similar pace. So is in the industry, is it happening that structurally you are seeing better margins coming in? And also based on our whatever efficiencies and synergies that we can derive, what kind of margins or margin improvement headroom do we have for them?
So I would imagine 14 to 15% margins in a chrome plating business is good. I would love to have 18%. Of course, margins are a part of the strategy that we follow. So at SGS, we've very successfully executed that we don't run after products that many people do. We look at unique products where competition is rarefied. Not very many people can do it. We thrive on doing complex products that competitors cannot do and do it in a better manner. So I believe that the market, which CRISIL estimated at 2.7 billion, not just chrome, I'm talking of the aesthetic market, we are just at the edge of the ocean, but we are focusing on climbing that curve step by step. So A was to maintain margins and profitability at SGS, improve our processes. Then we did one acquisition, which we integrated fairly well, both in terms of profitability and in terms of operating synergies. And now we are setting our sights on the next target. And so step by step, I think we should be there where we want to. The market looks very, very exciting.
So for chrome plating, okay, we feel that 13 to 15% would be sustainable kind of margins going ahead.
Okay, okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahendra Jain from V2 Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for giving opportunity. Sir, looking at... I'm audible, sir. Hello.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Sir, looking at all inflationary situation worldwide, at fuel price or metal price or anything, or wage inflation, really, we have booked some premium product, I mean, the premiumization growth in this quarter compared to last year's quarter. Like, what order book we have booked in premiumization product where we are quoting premium compared to the normal product? And what is the ratio in a whole order booking of the premiumization products? And sir, second question related to this only, what we are planning for this electrical vehicle market, like EV market? So,
okay, so two questions that you asked us. So as Devanshi said, the premiumization of our product mix or what we did, so in FY19 it was about 3% of our sales, and today premium products are, or last year they were 16% of our sales. Moving forward, especially in the Indian market and the export market, we see that premiumization trend will continue. I mean, they will constitute even a higher mix. And as I said, competition is not right there. So at the moment, we see higher margins, but then sustainable margins in the premium products, and that is going to drive or sustain margins. We are not. So what we are focused on really is that what is the performance that we've shown in the last quarter is something that we expect to continue. So stable margins and high growth is what we are targeting for ourselves moving forward.
Thank you. The line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next question. Next question is from the line of Pranay Jhaveri from J&J Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, if you could just throw some light on, basically, we are hearing that probably SUV is basically taking the market share of that sedan. So if you can just explain us the content per SUV, the available content with us for SUV versus sedan, that would be helpful. Thank you.
So fundamentally, an SUV is a larger vehicle. Okay, so larger vehicles requires larger parts. So to that extent, just by the geometry of the part, we have a higher content, whether it is a IML part or whether it is a chrome-plated part. But more importantly, since these automakers are now competing for market share, so everybody wants his car to look better than the other. And since the Indian consumer has a liking for SUVs, so SUV is leading growth in the passenger vehicle segment. So all our products are amenable to be sold to SUVs. Just for an example, so Mahindra launched this XUV 700, and from our chrome plating plant, we have close to about 70% sales coming in. 70 parts we supply to that same model. The displays are becoming bigger, so the lens mask assembly or the front panel that we are talking of in terms of optical plastics is bigger. The grill is bigger, so a bigger vehicle requires bigger parts, which is higher value.
Sir, if you can just put a number, higher-end sedan proposition to a, say, lower-end SUV, just in figure, that would be very helpful. A ballpark figure would be...
This is a challenge. I'd love to answer that question. The challenge really is that depending on model to model, the marketing person at the OEM decides what is the look and feel for this. So when our design studio guys start working with these customers, so they offer multiple options. So it is not that there's a standard part that all SUVs use the same part. So it is specified in terms of what is the theme for the vehicle model. And that is what we get as a mood board, and we give solutions. So that's a difficult question to answer, that what is the content per SUV versus a sedan. So there are, it depends on customer to customer, model to model, theme to theme.
Okay. And just last one question from my side. Since we Indians are always that price sensitive customer, so every model will have a decorative which is the minimum in value as an entry point, and as and when the customer requires extra parts, the OEM would offer them. So I'm just trying to understand regarding the volumes in a factory-led car vis-a-vis a customer asking for things. I hope I'm...
No, I understand. So I'm an Indian, so I understand exactly what you're saying. So no, Indian wants his shirt to shine brighter than the neighbor's shirt. So anybody buying a car wants to show off his car to his friends and colleagues. So that is the theme that drives this aesthetic decoration space. So he wants his car to look fancier, to look different from the other guys. So there's a large aftermarket also. So we have in our styling studio some very creative guys who are making vehicle decoration kits. And that's a business that we would also like to drive moving forward. So ultimately, all cars look alike, all refrigerators look alike, but the buying decision of the buyer, apart from the cost, is what looks better and aesthetically superior. This is something that the OEMs understand, and that is what is driving that premiumization. So two-wheeler guy wants a hands-free system. He wants GPS navigation on his bike like a car has. And that is the theme that is constant. So despite his being cost conscious, he is more aware today that he is connected. He does research on the internet. And that is what is driving growth. So not just cost. And that is the reason why India has moved away from entry-level cars, and even entry-level vehicles are today have a lot of lot more aesthetic content than what used to be 5 years ago.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. And I'll hand the conference over to Ms. Devanshi Dhruva for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us on this call. And in case if anybody's questions are unanswered, please feel free to write to me or reach out to me, and I will try and answer all your questions to the best of my capabilities. I would also like to take this opportunity to invite all of you all to come and visit our plant once, so that we would love to showcase actually what capabilities we have built in this plant and have this state-of-art facility out here in Bangalore. So you can reach out to me if you all are interested in visiting the plant as well. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Access Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.